and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. The Signal tech scandal should signal to us all that the Trump administration is pursuing an illegal war against Yemen to eventually force regime change in Iran. The U.S. president claims to be a peacemaker while conducting and preparing illegal wars. Crosstalking Trump's wars, I'm joined by my guest, Mohammed Mirandi in Tehran. He is a professor at the University of Tehran. In Beirut, we have Omar Nashabi. He is a criminal justice analyst. And in my cup, we have Lisa Isaac. She is an international relations specialist. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Professor Mirandi, if I can go to you first in Tehran, you know, the hitting the headlines right now is the Signal text group messaging fiasco on the part of Trump's foreign policy and intelligence chiefs. Everybody's in the U.S. is talking about the lack of security, but very few people are commenting on it's okay to bomb people, it's just bad to talk about it. Your thoughts?
Well, why should they? The political establishment of the United States has no problem with bombing people. They've been supporting it for decades now. And less than a month ago, Trump gave the green light for the revival or the restart of the genocide in Gaza. And we know from Witkoff that Hamas didn't violate any terms of the agreement, but he's blaming Hamas. So, and he supports the Israeli regime. So, that little bit of soft power that Trump was able to gain among some people, that he was a man of peace, that's all gone. And he's never going to get that back. And what's even worse, and this is, I think, the real scandal, is that we saw how the vice president was cheering on, was happy that a building full of civilians, including the so-called girlfriend of the missile commander, they were all killed. He was happy about that. But just one small footnote, there was no commander in that building. So everyone who was killed was an innocent civilian, and it just shows how shoddy U.S. intelligence is alongside the immorality of the whole political regime.
You know, Omar, it was a real example of how the sausage is made. I mean, even I was kind of surprised in how cavalier these people on this messaging app were in talking about the destruction of human lives, that they were more worried about the optics of it than the legality of it or the necessity of it. And I agree with Professor Mirandi. I mean, the veneer of soft power has just disappeared here. But it's also a preamble to a greater effort in the Middle East. That's why I said it in my introduction, an attempted regime change in Iran. This is just the start of this campaign. Omar in Beirut.
Yes, well, first, thank you for having me on the show. A colleague of mine at the university just told me a very interesting remark. He said, you know, before Trump, we had like double standards and we could, you know, we could step in and say, no, there are standards for international law, for human rights, and they are, you know, double standards. They don't apply to certain people and they apply to other people. Whereas today, we have no standards whatsoever. I mean, the Trump administration clearly removed all standards. It rejects international law. It threatens international tribunals. It threatens the judges. It reminds us of the law that says that, you know, the American Servicemen Act, where Protection Act, where they want to invade The Hague. They could. I mean, they're talking about this. They're talking about, you know, anyone one that holds the United States accountable for any of the crimes that are committed could be threatened by more crimes. I mean, and the position of the United States towards the International Criminal Court, the position towards the International Court Court of Justice, the ongoing genocide. I mean, I just saw a video. I mean, I'm really sorry. I was so emotionally moved. I didn't want to appear on the show emotionally troubled, but I saw videos that are, you know, one doesn't get used to that. I mean, they're bombing schools on a continuous basis in Gaza, killing children. Nobody's there. No, I mean, for 2 years, this is ongoing. I mean, I'm a criminal justice analyst. I teach my students about justice. I work on reforming the criminal justice. I'm not finding words to explain to my students in my classrooms. I mean, this is obscene. The amount, the size of the murderous criminal actions that are being, you know, happening in Palestine, in southern Lebanon. Lebanon, my country here, just a few kilometers away, we are being bombed, although there is a ceasefire and the ceasefire agreement. And we've been bombed on a continuous level, and they come up with, they don't even bother sometimes to come up with reasons why they're bombing. They consider this their right, as if they have this absolute right to kill anyone, anywhere. I mean, we are, where is the world going? I mean, this American administration is taking the world one step further to more chaos. But I think that when he talks about, and the American administration threatens to bomb Iran, I think they're hesitating because they know that there's a heavy price to pay. They know that there is a heavy price to pay, not just militarily, but also economically,
But Omar, I agree with you. But, you know, in looking at the transcript of their conversation, I'm not really sure what they're actually aware of. I mean, this was amateur hour. I mean, I was stunned by it. I mean, all of this is at the behest of Israel. It's not even mentioned. It's a given. It's top of mind for them. And of course, you know, this district, there was no conversation about international law, what the objectives were. Let me bring in Lisa here. I mean, this is a foreshadowing what is to come, far more violence. And Omar talked about, you know, being emotionally impacted by this. We all should be emotionally impacted by this. I refuse to be normalized by this kind of violence. Lisa, go ahead.
Yes, exactly. But in my opinion, that the decision to target Iran was not, you know, did not came up that just after Trump came to power. In my opinion, that the decision was taken from the U.S. administration exactly after the 9/11 attack and after the invasion on Iraq in 2003. We all remember that the statements from Wesley Clark, who said that the U.S. administration were determined to target seven countries. And looking at the scene now in the Middle East, it looks like all the targets have been achieved except for Iran. So basically, what is happening nowadays, it's not the amount of this moment. Instead, it is well planned and longer planned, actually, from the U.S. administration. And going back a little bit to the Trump administration withdrawal from the a nuclear agreement in 2018, we could see that he was just paving the way for his second term when he came back, so he can come back and achieve his left behind mission. So this is my own assessment to the situation. And that's why I am not, you know, very optimistic that the rationality here that we
well,
cannot see
Lisa,
it at all.
But that's the whole point. What is the rationality here? Let's go back to Turan. What is the American interest in all of this, Professor Morandi? What is the American interest? I'm befuddled by it. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's exactly what you didn't see in the Signal chats. You did not see the word Israel.
Yep.
They were, the vice president spoke about bailing out Europe. European ships were not targeted. No one was being targeted. It was only ships affiliated to the Israeli regime. So this is all about the Israeli regime, and the United States wants the Israeli regime, and the Europeans want the Israeli regime. They can be divided over Ukraine, but they are united over ethno-supremacism and racism and ethnic cleansing and genocide in Palestine. So they want Israel to reign supreme in the region. They want a broken Syria. They want a broken Lebanon. They want a weak and broken Jordan. And they want a weak and broken Egypt. And thus, the Israeli regime can continue to expand whenever it sees it to be an opportune moment. And as Omar was saying, the Israelis, they attack Lebanon every day. They kill people. And who's the guarantor, by the way? It's Trump. It's the United States, just like in Gaza. They're the guarantor, but at the same time, they're allowing the Israelis to do whatever they want, and then they go and blame the victim. This is the world that the United States has created, a dystopia that is getting worse by the day. But I believe that the regime in Washington is growing weaker, and the world is changing. That doesn't mean that we're not going to see bloodshed ahead, but I am optimistic that at the end of the tunnel, although the tunnel is full of the blood of the innocent, as we've seen in Gaza and as Omar alluded to, I do believe that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and we have to be optimistic and we have to keep pushing.
You know, Omar, this is not the first administration to attack Yemen. It always seems to be the same result, is that Yemen is not going to be defeated, but Trump is giving it another try. Your thoughts?
Yes. There will be sound for a call for prayer. It's Ramadan, and there's a mosque right next to my office. So I'm sorry if there's a...
It's okay.
Yes, I think that we must remind the viewers that, the Saudi Arabia and the Saudi Arabian coalition had went through a war against Yemen for many years before, of course, supported by the Americans and by some European powers, but it didn't lead to anything, although the Saudis, pledged billions of dollars to defeat the Yemenis. Yep. And they were ready to pay anyone and to pay any army and to bring in any weapons to defeat the Yemenis, and they couldn't. So therefore, maybe it's time for the Americans to think again that these attacks on Yemen, these bombing, indiscriminate bombing of Sana'a will not lead to any result. In fact,
Omar, hold that thought. I have to jump in here. We have to go to a hard break. And after that hard break, we'll continue our discussion on Trump's wars. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing Trump's wars. Okay, let's go back to Omar in Beirut. You were finishing off a thought before we went to the break. Go right ahead, Omar.
Yes, I was saying about the war. You know, there was a war in Yemen before the Americans started bombing Yemen directly and started sending their ships. And they tried to actually also, another point, they tried to create an international coalition with some European fleet. And the coalition collapsed. They couldn't actually keep it going. Now, this would be an interesting question. Why couldn't the coalition maintain its unity? I mean, they couldn't, because the Americans... The Americans had objectives that were different than the European objectives, and they couldn't agree. And they couldn't agree on the assessment, how to deal with Yemen. This country, Yemen, and its people are determined to fight, and they have this readiness to sacrifice. I mean, they've been sacrificing for so long. And I spoke to a colleague in Hudaydah who teaches at the university, international law, and he told me, we're ready to die. We're ready to sacrifice our lives, our children, our families, because we hold on to this position. We will support, and we will continue to support the people in Gaza no matter what the price is. And these people are historically, I mean, one reads, if one goes back historically to the history of Yemen, will realize that the Yemenis are stubborn, they continue with their struggle, and they are, they will continue to fight no matter what the price is. And I think that the Americans don't have a clear plan to how to deal with, they don't have plan B. And they're not working according to a plan that takes into account all the variables. You see, in Lebanon, for example, they supported a new government in Lebanon that is not pro-Hezbollah, in fact, that is more pro-American. But they're not helping the governments they brought into government. They keep bombing the South. They make the government in Lebanon lose more of its credibility, although this government is supposed to be pro-American. So I'm not sure that this administration has well calculated steps. I think it's taking steps that are more brutal, violent. I don't think these people are taking into consideration the aftermath of their actions.
Absolutely. I mean, it's more intimidation, death, and destruction. That'll somehow get your way. That's not a policy. That's just a tactic. Lisa, let me go to you. I mean, going back to the Signal conversation, this group here, it was more about a strategy about how to lie to the American people about what the U.S. military is doing under Donald Trump, because these people that were in this call, and these people are his major decision makers in his administration, they don't really articulate what the goal of this all is, except for Trump said we have to do this, okay? And they spent more time trying to convince themselves about a strategy to convince the American people that it's an American interest, that somehow Yemen is a threat to the United States of America. It's really quite extraordinary. Go ahead.
Yes, exactly. I mean, every time that Trump is mentioning that I am pro-peace, it makes me actually to take a pause and rethink again, because it's obvious the man, when he mentions peace on his tongue, the more wars and bombs it's happening, especially in the Middle East, particularly in our region. Maybe this kind of privilege, you know, or the hegemonic way of how Trump is perceiving himself and Israel and Middle East, they think themselves that they have the upper hand now in Middle East. Looking at the balance of power in the region, we can't, you know, ignore that it's after 7 October, it has been gone dramatically in favor of Israel and United States. And that's why Israel sees itself as the most, you know, strongest regional player at the scene, and it can do anything here and there. You can see that it is literally bombing and targeting seven fronts in Syria post Assad, in Lebanon post Hezbollah, and in Yemen. They have left, in my opinion, the heavy targets and the heavy work on Trump himself. So basically, because this mentality that Netanyahu had and the arrogance that he gained after have maybe achieved a successful advancement in just breaking or breaking down or at least weakening Iran access in the region, whether it was in Lebanon, in Syria, and in Hamas itself, he sees himself that he can actually just roam around in the region, and he can bomb him and there, and at the end of the day, just and impose his own will and his own wishes, and dedicate to the region of what every and each state should be according to their wishes, including that even if they decided, for example, in one day just to remove the Palestinian people from Gaza Strip and tell them just leave everything and go. They think because they have the upper hand and the power, the balance of power is in favor of them, they can't really dedicate that on the people on the ground.
Yeah, but I mean, let's go back to Tehran. I mean, having the ability to commit violence doesn't mean you're right. And that, and this is the kind of the policy that comes from the Trump administration. We've also, I mean, the preamble to all of this was return of so-called maximum pressure. And I do think what is going on against the people of Yemen is connected to Iran, because that's the perception coming out of Washington, is that the Yemen is completely controlled by Iran. And again, that's the messaging that Pete Hegseth was trying to get through. What is the position right now? Because the Iranians have said no, because what Trump wants is essentially a unilateral surrender. Iran isn't going to do that. You can bomb Yemen, but that's not going to change the position in Iran. Your thoughts, Mohammed?
Well, they like to call everyone proxies in order to delegitimize them. But the fact is that Hezbollah and the resistance in Lebanon has a very strong popular support base. And the same is true in Yemen. If Yemen did not have popular support, if Ansarullah did not have popular support, 7 years of Western-backed genocide against the country by the Saudis and the Emiratis with their infinite, with a hundreds of billions of dollars spent, it would have bore fruit. As Omar again pointed out, they had all these mercenary armies funded, but they got nothing. The reason is because it's a popular movement and they have the support of the people. In the case of Iran, it's the same. They would like to say that Iran is unpopular, Iran is an imploding regime, it's falling apart. But at the same time, of course, they're saying Iran is a growing threat.
Yeah. It sometimes, you know, Iran, Russia, you can change the words with the rhetoric that comes out of these people. You know, Russia's on its last legs, but it's going to take over Paris next week. Keep going.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we see with Iran. They say that Iran is falling apart. All we have to do is give it a little push. But it's a rising menace and a threat to the world. But I think it's pretty clear that from in Tehran, that if the United States attacks Iran, the price that the Americans will pay, the price that the West will pay, is beyond calculation. It will bring down the global economy. Those tiny oil and gas-rich regimes, which can't defend themselves against anything, they have American bases. They are completely complicit in what's happening in Yemen, and if anything happens in Iran. And by the way, they're also complicit in what happens in Gaza, even Qatar, because CENTCOM is based in Qatar. They cannot wash away the blood. They cannot hide it. Yep. All of these regimes are complicit, and they will be the first to fall if there is conflict. And when they fall, then it will be a catastrophe for the world. I don't know what the United States plans to do, but one other thing that I'd like to point out, and you alluded to that, they miscalculated in Russia. They were going to turn the ruble into rubble, and now we saw what happened. If they do anything in the Persian Gulf region, it will be even worse because of all the oil and gas installations that exist here. So they should think very carefully about any foolish act of violence.
You know, Omar, the core issue here, the here and now, at least, I'm glad that Lisa gave us a background here, but the here and now issue is the genocide against the Palestinian people. And the result of that is changed the region a lot. And you talked about popular support. All of you have talked about popular support. Regimes that back the United States will lose that, any kind of support that they had in the past. I mean, that's the change that we see in the region, support for Yemen against the genocide.
Yes, and I invite the viewers to, tomorrow is Friday, it's Al-Quds Day. And as every Friday, not only because if it's Al-Quds Day, every Friday in the squares all over Yemen, you will see hundreds of thousands of people supporting the Houthis, Ansarullah in Yemen. And tomorrow, more than the regular Fridays in the past, because tomorrow is Al-Quds Day that Imam Khomeini had announced, the last Friday of the month of Ramadan, to be a month, a day for prayer, for Jerusalem and for taking back Jerusalem as an important Islamic center, you know, and an Islamic symbolic place for all Muslims everywhere around the world. And, tomorrow you will see the evidence of that support that the Yemenis have. Although I have read so many reports that the direction now by the American administration is to create more internal chaos inside Yemen and to actually have strengthen the southern part of Yemen, where there are some Yemenis who are collaborators with the Emiratis and the Saudis. And so they want to offer them the support to attack Hudaydah and occupy Hudaydah under the pretext that they want to ensure that international navigation is secured. Now, international navigation is secured. The Yemenis had only said that only Israeli boats are not allowed to go through until there is a ceasefire, until they stop killing children in Gaza. That is the ultimatum. That is the idea. That is the condition, is that you should stop the genocide. If the International Court of Justice cannot stop a genocide, if the International Criminal Court cannot stop a genocide, then there's no other means but resistance. And this is what the Yemenis are saying. I don't understand why
on that, on my point, I have to jump in here. Excellent ending point here. How did we all get here? Trump broke his own ceasefire in Palestine. This is a sign of the times here. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in Tehran, Beirut, and in makeup. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk rules.